naughty, nasty computer. Shame, 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 naughty computer. Naughty, nice computer. Nice, soft, naughty computer. Oh, computer.
And welcome back to the Computer Corner. It is the Data Doctors, Ben Colburn and Brandon Disney. Hey, by the way, if you're a CNN Pipeline subscriber, we're now doing a regular Sunday segment on the CNN Pipeline. And if you're not, check it out, cnn.com/pipeline. I think there's a free trial you can check out. Between 10 and 10:30 on Sundays, you can see me doing a little webcam piece with Nicole Lapin. I'm sorry. It's kind of fun. I got to set up this stuff in my room and, you know, like lights, camera, action, webcam.
It's like TV almost.
It's like old school. Remember when you used to, in our old TV show, we used webcams, let people call in and, you know, I mean, I know it's passé now, but it's still, it's an easy way for us to help CNN out with some tech stuff. So we're having fun.
CNN who?
CNN.
I never heard of them. I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, by the way, if you are not a subscriber to our newsletter, or if you tried to subscribe and you cannot get it, you can always get the archives of our newsletter on our website at datadoctors.com. Click on the free help section. Then on the left-hand side, you'll see the newsletter pages, including a way for you to look at the last, I think, six or eight newsletters, including a question that kind of came up in last week's show about PDFs and opening PDFs. The tip of the week in our newsletter has to do with how to not try to open the PDF within the browser. That tends to cause more problems than if you just launch the actual Acrobat Reader. So the steps on how to do it are on this week's newsletter, and as well as our head whack of the week, volume icon missing in action. That's, you know, we see that from time to time. What happened to my little speaker icon? I can't control anything. And the steps on how to get that back on your taskbar right down there by your clock. Are part of this week's newsletter as well.
It's the volume icon resurrection.
Yeah. As well as some other news items, the link to the column about Splogs and Sportles, our Geek Speak of the Week, and of course a precursor to this week's show. So check it out there, datadoctors.com, free help section. Enjoy.
You can get newsletters that way, or you can also look for the newfangled RSS/podcasts, which are for the more in the know.
The little orange icon you'll see that looks like, I don't know what it looks like, two boomerangs.
If you're an RSSer at all, you know what that
is. RSSer?
Yeah.
You're a feeder?
If you're a feeder, you know that icon. You know it well.
All right. Let's see what we have. Who's up next here? Is it JJ?
Yeah, that's correct. JJ.
JJ, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Welcome. You guys probably know more than I ever going to know. You got such a big brain. And my four-year-old. He also knows more than me, so bear with me.
good way to butter us up, but then when you compared us to the four-year-old, it kind of ruined the whole thing.
my daughter and her friend were talking about something about, you know, why I have big hair or big head or something. A lot of information in there, so.
Well, this kid, I don't know where he got it from. He just knows.
Yeah, they come out of the womb that way nowadays.
I know.
It's
Well, I have a three-year-old lead machine, so bear with me.
Okay.
And it has, we have a family photo as a screensaver.
Okay.
And now we got all these other little pictures that are on the photo, and I can't get rid of them. Now, one, I know it's about 4 inches big. I have a big screen. And we have the old dial-up, and it kicked us off, and it says, hey, would you like to view this while you're offline? I clicked, yeah, sure. I clicked on it, and now I got this big square in the middle of my screen, and I can't get rid of it, no matter what. So
I think...
figured, you guys would know what's going on here.
What version of Windows are you running there, sir?
XP.
All right.
My guess is you have something called Active Desktop that's been turned on, and you have some web content that's trying to display on your desktop. So years and years ago, Microsoft came up with this cool way to be able to display content from websites right kind of embedded in the background images or background colors that you had on your desktop so that you could have something along the lines of newspaper or sports scores or whatever it is you wanted kind of embedded there. And so my guess is that thing, that box that you have in the middle of your picture, is one of those components. And what you might be able to do is if you kind of hover over that black box that you're seeing there,
yes, sir.
Towards the top of it, you might see that a little bar pops up. If not, you could try right-clicking somewhere in there and see if there are some options for Active Desktop or options to close that bar or change some of its settings.
I told my wife you guys would know.
Well, here's the other thing you can do is if you right-click anywhere on an open space on the desktop and go to Properties,
that'll
open up your Display Properties.
Oh.
In there, you'll see a bunch of tabs across the top. The second one should say Desktop on it.
Uh-huh.
You can click on that and then actually scroll up to the very top of the section that says Background and set it to None.
Okay. I'm writing this down. I'm going to do this right now.
Well, you don't even have to write it down. You just listen to the archives on our radio show, on our webpage.
Oh, that's right.
See?
That's right.
It's another public service from the Data Doctors.
I knew you guys could help me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, set that to none to see if that changes things. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities here. There's a possibility you allowed something to be installed into your system that's going to be a lot more difficult to get out. So, hopefully, one of these... Is he gone? JJ?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
He's there.
Oh, I'm getting mutes over here. Hopefully, one of these things will kind of put you back in control of that situation. But if it's not, then it gets a little more difficult.
We're taking our best guesses based on most common stuff, so.
Well, you guys help everybody. I know this is probably it. If not, I'll just call you next week and bug you.
All right. Sounds good, JJ.
We like that.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. That frees up a line at 602-277-5827. Who's up next?
You can pick. I don't know anymore. I don't know who's been holding the longest.
I don't either.
Let's try to see if we can help out Tex. What do you think about Tex?
Tex?
Tex in Scots, it says.
I'm here, but my ear fell off.
Your ear fell off.
Well, I've been on hold since Thursday. What's today?
Thursday.
Yeah, it's Thursday. It's Thursday at 2 a.m. What time is it where you're at?
I'm in Scottsdale. I'm a Macintosh user. I listen to you guys, even though I can't seem to take advantage of your good advice because I never seem to suffer those Windows SCADI 8 problems that others do.
All right. So what's your question?
Well, I have a question relating to the outrageous high price of NiCad batteries for laptops.
Yes.
It seems like every time I buy one, they're $25 higher. And you look at other NiCad or exotic type batteries about the same size, with a couple of decks of cards stuck together, and they're a third the price, but somehow computer batteries cost now $185.
Are you familiar with the principles of supply and demand?
Well, there's actually a couple more things involved here. You're using the terminology NiCad, but today's computers are generally not using that kind of battery. They're using a much more sophisticated technology, generally lithium-ion.
Lithium-ion, exactly.
So they're going to be a little bit more expensive than NiCad batteries. But number two, the batteries that we're using in notebook computers today have a lot more intelligence than just dumb batteries. The computer can actually talk to the battery, figure out what kind of life it has left, and monitor other settings and controls within that battery.
But the bottom line is, it's not like you can go shopping and get the best price on the battery, because your particular unit, is this a Mac laptop?
Yeah, it's an old G3. I travel internationally, and I spend 5, 6, and 7 hours at a time on airplanes, and that calls for two bloody batteries.
How old is this unit?
Don't ask.
Okay. Well, that's the other reason why it's so darn expensive. Very few people actually are looking for those batteries, and very few people actually have those batteries, which, again, falls to that supply and demand principle. Has nothing to do with fair pricing. Has to do with the fact that there aren't that many batteries and that many people asking for them. So,
well, I found a lithium ion battery with a warranty and whatever for $155, and then I went over to Rimac, and they're $180, almost $180. And I'm just wondering why the spread? It just seems like that this is a rip. I mean, I don't understand why it would be so expensive. You just said, yes, it's very it's an intelligent battery, but...
But yours may not be. Yours is old enough that it's just the fact that...
the other part that we brought up is think about if you were trying to find original parts for a 1940s vehicle.
Hey, come on.
I'm just giving you some comparison because in computers, things change a lot faster, and so you're talking about something near the equivalent of that. If you got a machine that's 4, 5, 6 years old, those parts have long stopped being made, and so you're trying to find parts that are now being remanufactured to work with that, and it comes at a higher price.
And they know they can get that because what are you going to do?
Right. Well, I have a G3. And I think I could probably sell it on eBay for $200, and they want $180 for a bloody battery. So I walked over and said, hey, how about this new Mac? And I shopped for laptops to just discard my old G3 and buy a new one. By the way, how much are batteries? Oh, those are $200.
Well, you got to remember, too, when you're buying an Apple product, you're buying a closed loop of hardware where the controls are even tighter than, say, in the PC world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for instance, all the different laptop manufacturers that are running Windows and Intel are actually getting together because of this problem, and they're looking at common platforms for batteries. And there's a new generation of PC units that actually have a common platform so that the same battery can be used across multiple, you know, lots of different laptops.
Okay.
That's going to drive the price of the batteries down. The battery that you're looking for only works in your unit.
And part of the thing that you alluded to and bragged about a little bit in the beginning of the call was that your Mac, because you're running Mac, you don't have the problems that Windows people have, but you also don't have the competition that us Windows people have, which means your prices are always going to be a little bit higher.
Well, I'll pay happily for the absence of having to deal with Windows whatever. I'll pay double.
And you have been. So what are you complaining about, Tex?
Hey, you guys do a great job. Thank you very much.
Thank you, bud. Appreciate it. Hey, is it, you know, reasonable? That's a great illustration, though, of the differences.
Yeah.
It's pros and cons all the way around. There's no clear leader in every single sector. There's always, you know, there's always those hidden parts that you don't learn about until afterwards. But that's okay.
That's just the way it works.
For sure.
We've got a lot more Computer Quarter coming up for you, but first we've got to get you caught up with some traffic and weather here expanded on KTAR.